Hello and welcome to episode 71 of Audacious Food Talk for Gluttons. This is Janae Libby. Today's show is sponsored by Teej.fm. Teej.fm is a brand new podcast collaborative community created by WTJU, who are celebrating their 60th year on the air. Check out Teej, T-E-E-J.fm for more information. Also by my lovely Patreon sponsors at patreon.com/audaciouspod. Check out that link to learn more about how you can support this community-based podcast. And to a very special sponsor, Pasture, Comfort, and Flora of in Richmond. Michelle Jones and Jason Alley are the wonder twins of restaurants. She handles front of house, he handles back of house, and at all three restaurants, you will have the best food and the best service of your life. I love them both dearly, and thank you to them for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? We got a lot to talk about. Here we go. Hello and welcome. Welcome to Audacious Food Talk for Gluttons, where food is just the starting point for many, many deep conversations. Thank you for being my guest today. I am Janae Libby. I am a writer by trade and now a podcaster. As of 2 years ago, I started this podcast in order to connect with folks face to face rather than shouting or talking at folks online. I want to connect. I want to focus on the work of food, not on the finished product. The people who are laboring in our kitchens, in our fields, in our stores, in our boardrooms, people who are audacious about what they do, their passion in life being food. You can find me on iTunes. The website is audacious.co. Audacious means hungry or ravenous. And Arlie Arrington, today's interview. She's definitely audacious about what she does. Arlie Cakes is a fabulous company. Her products are fabulous. And I want to get to her interview and to all the things we talk about. But first, I have a very special thank you message from my good buddy, Scotty Nichols. You guys have been so lovely and wonderful about donating to his GoFundMe campaign. And he recorded a special thank you message. So here it is. Enjoy. Attempt a segue. I'm so grateful for our relationship. I'm so glad we're friends. Was that corny? No, that's not on the list.
I love you more.
We have talked a really long time, but I'm going to touch on this very gently and quickly. But I want to ask about the GoFundMe.
Oh my God.
How has that been for you?
The GoFundMe has such a blessing from God for I'm still having trouble wrapping my brain around it because I don't understand it. I've been on the hustle so long, and I just don't understand strangers giving me money. All right, but I'm thankful for it, and the prayers mean a lot, and I wouldn't be alive today without the love that I'm getting from the world. That keeps me going on days that because now I have little investors in my outcome.
Oh, I like that.
So I kind of have to deliver on them. Like,
I just got a tingle.
None of those people want to get a note from you that said, well, thank you for your contribution, but he didn't make it. Like now, you know, we're going to have to go out and adopt some Somali babies or something. Like, I need to go on after do this and great, thanks. And as the prognosis gets better and better, we talked earlier about that it's a lot of waiting.
Yeah. It's not like the movies.
I'm sort of excited.
Or the TV shows.
I'm really excited about, oh my God, there might be a next chapter.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people that are finding out that permanent retirement just isn't possible anymore, I'm looking at being older. And honestly, earlier in my career, it was my looks. Radio's perfect for me now, but I wasn't a bad-looking fellow, and I kept myself in shape, and I looked really good in a suit. and how I got every job. What, do I sound like I'm bragging?
No.
Like, kind
not
of.
At all.
I knew I had this clean-cut J. Crew image, and I could just knew if I needed a job, I could walk out, hang outside any HR office door around 8:30 on a Monday morning, and everybody needed something. It was the 80s, the 90s.
Yeah.
It was the go-go time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that worked.
I did the same thing. That's fine.
To my benefit.
Yeah.
And had no compassion for anyone that couldn't get a job. It's like, do you speak English fluently? Can you put on a tie and wash your hair and shave and go and you can get a job? And that's how easy it was.
Yeah.
And I quit as many jobs as I took.
Yeah.
So now I have a lot of friends that I, here in my building that I've gotten close with, and I know how hard it is to go look for a job in your 50s, and I know it's not going to be easy. It's not something to look forward to, but I'm sort of excited about like what's next, because after coming this far through the treatment process, I'll be damned if I'm going to spend one day doing something that doesn't make my heart happy on some level. So like people not only invested in me, but sort of my reawakening of the second chapter of my life, like this is an opportunity and we're going to go forward and it's going to be amazing. And you know, that doesn't mean I have to be a diva about the job I take or what I do,
No. But
I will make sure that every day is full of rainbows and sunshine and good things. I'm an optimistic, annoyingly optimistic person, as you know.
Yeah, I love that about you.
And I'm just looking forward to things that lie ahead. Yay. So thank you, everyone. And you'll be all be hearing from me eventually.
Yes, thank you.
Yep, that's my good buddy and my best friend of 30 years, Scotty Nichols. And I thank you, too, from the bottom of my heart. Several times over the past few months, I have been driven to tears and had to grab the tissues because of the unbelievable generosity of folks like yourself, the listeners, total strangers who have come forward to help him. You know, I'm feeling on top of the world today. I really am. I'm just really riding high. It's my 50th birthday today. Yeah, whatever. It's just a day. It's another day. I've been on a long life journey. It's taken me many bridges to cross and rivers to cross to get to this point. So much has happened. The weekend before, right after I posted Scotty's podcast, we had the Big Love Bake Sale. That was a community fundraiser, my very first one for the podcast, and it happened at the Charlottesville City Market. And Rachel Pennington of the Pie Chest helped me create this bake sale, and I'm so eternally grateful to her. She came up with the name. We came up with the concept because Scotty and I did meet while baking cookies at Mrs. Fields 30 years ago, and hundreds of people came out. I met old fans. I made new friends and new fans, and I cannot tell you what it feels like to connect with people on a face-to-face basis and to shake their hand, to give them a hug. So many people donated $5 to the bake sale for Scotty's campaign. And many people said, well, I want a cookie for $5, but here's $20. Like it just floored me. I was floored. It was such a great day. I want to thank Rachel of the Pie Chest, PK Ross of Splendora's, who donated cupcakes, and community member Justin Vesser. He is a twice contest winner for food. He donated some lovely chocolate tarts, and everyone who came forth and donated or just gave encouragement. We took the leftovers to a fire station. So it was a community day, a connection day from beginning to end. And I have a feeling it's only the first of many. I would love to do this again for many, many other initiatives in town. If you have ideas, I would love to hear them. It was so much fun. We made $655. And like I said, it's my birthday today. And this podcast is probably going to go up on Friday. I want it to go up today, but there is a crowdsourcing class I want to attend. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I'm doing the Big Love birthday. I had a brainstorm last night. What if instead of sending me Facebook birthday messages, which are nice, I'm not ungrateful for them, they're very nice. What if everybody that did that donated $5 to the fund. As of this recording, it's about 1 o'clock on a Thursday. We have raised $585. Now, I'm trying to get him a new mattress. I spent the weekend with him. I took him his Big Love bake sale money. We talked. We laughed. We always have a good time. His mattress is abysmal, and he's very sick. So I had a brainstorm last night. If you can, donate $5. I'll have the link on the show notes. I know I'm shameless. I'm shameless. You would do it too if it was your best friend, if it was your husband or your wife or your mother, father, someone who you truly believed in and cared about unconditionally. You would do it too. So just for this day, I'm being a little bit shameless and asking you to come forward and to donate. And I want to especially send out a special thank you. Oh my God, that's so awkward. Special. Thank you, Michelle Jones of Pasture Comfort and now Flora, which serves Oaxacan. Oaxacan, is that right? Oaxacan cuisine in Richmond. Lovely tacos. They have an excellent tequila selection. They've got Siete Leguas, which is my favorite tequila. She is a past podcast guest and a dear friend, and she donated $200. Thank you, bless you, and big love to Michelle Jones. And go visit those restaurants early and often, and donate early and often. And if you can't donate, I get it. It's rough out there. Hit share. Share is just once. Okay, I'll get off my development soapbox, my fundraising soapbox. I feel like Elmer Gantry. Who's that preacher that stood on the box? God, I'm showing my age. I'll get off the soapbox, but it would help. And big love to whatever you can do. Arlie Arrington, this girl. I cannot wait for you to hear this interview. I'm going to keep it short, but I gotta mention her birthday cake because she made me a birthday cake for the ages. And what I loved is that all she said was, "What do you want decorated on the top?" And I said, "Do whatever you like. I trust you. It's fine." And she said, "What are your favorite flavors?" And I said, "Lemon and raspberry," because my mother used to make me a birthday tart with those flavors. She created a lemon raspberry cake, pictures in the show notes. Not only is it stunningly beautiful, but it makes you drop to your knees in hallelujah after you taste it. It is insane, guys. Insane. So good. What I love is that there's not 2 inches of icing. I like icing, but I'm a cake girl. It's why I love Pearl's Cupcakes, because I think she's got the best cupcakes in town for the cake, not for the icing. Arlie Arrington Lemon Cake. Frickin' amazing. Thank you, Arlie. And I cannot wait for you to hear this interview. Yes, I've said that before. We talk about a lot her passion, her audaciousness for cake, for pies, for sweet desserts, and how she got her business started. So it's a great talk for anyone looking to start a business. She is a fellow CIC alum. I will be a CIC alum in June, God willing, and the creek don't rise if I finish the class. So I talked with her a little bit about her experience at CIC, and we also discuss her wonderful work with young ladies in the community, in her church. Oh my God, those photos brought me to tears. I'll have that link in the show notes as well. So here is Arlie Arrington of Arlie Cakes. We recorded it in her home, and it was just wonderful. And I will see you on the flip side. Cheers. And thank you for talking with me.
Of course.
Again?
Of course.
Because I met you at the Business of Food Conference last summer and had a lovely conversation, but it was very short, like 5 minutes.
Too short.
Yeah, too short. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to have you here with me today talking. And I want to start out by congratulating you on your audacious Best of Seville pie win.
Thank you.
Well, and technically, because every year I pick like the 10 best dishes I ate,
And my top two this year were more experiences. Like I picked Fleury's restaurant and I picked a dinner that I went to. And you were number three. So technically you're number one.
Wow.
Because that pie, the rosemary bourbon apple pie.
And brown butter.
With brown butter, which makes everything better.
That's true.
Was the best thing I ate this year.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thanks.
And do you know, I said on the podcast that I don't typically like apple pie. Mm-hmm. I will eat it, but it's not my first choice because I'm always disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is true for almost everyone. Like, I Americanist apple pie, right?
Right.
I think that's a phrase for a reason. Yeah. But I'm glad that this pie won you over anyway.
Oh my God.
It's pretty cool.
I got a lot of blowback because people were like, well, you haven't tried mine. That's the reason.
Why you don't like apple pie?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Now I've got people like shoving apple pie in my face. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. That's cool.
That's really funny.
Well, and I tried that because I took your class at the Spice Diva.
Yeah, the pie making class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pie month.
This month is pie month?
This month is pie month.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Because yeah.
National Pie Day, the social media hashtag, somebody somewhere decided that at some point in January it was National Pie Day. But then...
Oh, I thought 314 was National Pie Day.
Well, that is Pie Day. You know how like there's like... National like Siblings Day, National Mac and Cheese Day. It was like one of those things. And I don't know like who decided it or what their reasoning was. Because if this is Pie Month and Pie Day is in March, I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, every month is Pie Month.
I think so too. It really is. It's great for all the time, every season, every meal.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I wrote about pie, and I mentioned that when you have an empty pie crust, that there's just all that's in front of you is possibility. Like, what are you going to put in it?
Yeah.
Because it could be savory, it could be sweet,
yeah.
It can be your own creation or somebody else's. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the movie Waitress?
I haven't.
No. Oh, you need to watch it.
I know, I do. I had a very sheltered childhood, so I feel like I miss out on a lot of a lot of pop culture things.
They made it into a Broadway musical. Why I like it, it's a cute story, but why I like it is that this girl invents her own pies, and she'll give them crazy names like Lonely Chicago Pie,
aww,
or I Don't Want to Have That Man's Baby Pie, because she gets mad at her husband. And she'll just take weird ingredients and kind of throw them all in there. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that? Like just, well, rosemary apple bourbon. How did you come up with that recipe?
Well, since I was doing the class at the Spice Diva, I wanted to be able to use spices from her. And I think, when was that? Oh, it was right before Thanksgiving, so like in November. So I wanted to come up with something fall-like and just to get to use her spices. I love her shop.
Oh, me too.
I could just go in there and look around forever.
Me too.
And like smell things and
And the spices there are really top notch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes I'll go in there and just look around to come up with ideas of things to do. Because there are so many desserts that are a blank canvas, like pie or like macaroons. Sometimes I'll just go in and like, what looks cool with the pie? Or sorry, the Spice Diva.
Yeah. What kind of, like the French macarons or the real chewy French macaroons?
The French macarons.
Oh, those are really tough to make. You can make those?
Yeah. And
oh my God. Like lingerie.
Well, I don't know how I compare it to any like famous Parisian shops, but it has taken practice. Oh, you know what really helped? I watched the kids baking championship, like the show on Food Network.
The kids won.
Yeah. They have these like 8 to 12-year-olds baking, and there's a macaroon episode, and I couldn't believe it. It was when I was first figuring out how to make macaroons, and watching these like 10-year-olds make it, actually, like, that really helped me down my technique, which I don't know if I believe the show.
You think, I wonder about that sometimes, if people don't step in and help them to make them the show more.
Yeah, I want to think that they do, because they're 10-year-olds, and if they're that much better than me, that's kind of embarrassing.
I always think that about Project Runway, because in the workroom, the dresses look like a hot mess, and then on the runway, they look gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Tim Gunn stepped in on the sewing machine and helped out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and macarons, for people that don't know, I know they had a trending minute here a couple years back. They're a meringue cookie, almost.
Yeah.
That's what I call them.
Yeah. It's meringue with almond flour, the cookie.
Oh, yum. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. And they're so light. Mm-hmm. And the risk is that they can just run across your baking sheet, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of risks in it. There are a lot of articles on if you overbeat it, if you underbeat it, if, like, it's too humid, if it, you know, just all of these different things. If you bake it at too high of a temperature, if your baking sheets are too hot, you can really mess it up.
That was the one thing I so appreciated about the pie class I took with you, is you had so many helpful tips for pie crust. I was taking notes like a mad woman.
Oh, awesome.
And you did it in a food processor, the crust.
Yeah, so I do it in a KitchenAid. A lot of people are sort of against that, and they like to do it by hand because you can control how cold or how much you break up the butter. You have more control. Like with the KitchenAid, I have to watch it really closely.
Sure, sure.
But when I'm making a lot of pie at once.
Oh, sure. You can't really afford to do it by hand.
Yeah.
Is it your preference to do it by hand if you're just making a pie for yourself, or do you have a...
You know, no. I'll make it in the food processor if I'm just making a... Like, instead of in the stand mixer with a paddle attachment, I'll make it in the food processor, because that just works a little more quickly for me. And I just have a little guy, so I can't do a lot at once.
Right.
But yeah, I guess, and it depends on the recipe. Like if I'm trying out a new pie crust recipe, I'll do it by hand. That way I know, like, when it comes out, I know I at least mixed it right. You know, just to sort of control that.
But. And you've made so many pies, it's probably almost like automatic light now, like pulse it 15 times or you know, do this 10 times.
Yeah.
And that I wrote that down, like, you know, that this keep the water cold and you pulse this about this many times, and that was very helpful.
Have you made pie crust since then?
No.
You look like you didn't do your homework.
Teacher, I didn't do my homework. I said I was confident enough to go home, and
it's okay. You still have the rest of the month.
That's true. Mm-hmm. This would be the month to do it, to overcome that fear.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And the biggest tip you gave me is something I've been doing this whole time with my frickin' store-bought crust, is I stretch them out to fit the pan.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that's terrible. Don't do that, because then it shrinks in the oven.
Yeah. It's always worth it just to start over again.
Yeah.
I mean, you made the crust. You might as well, like, finish it through to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, and God, that was such a good pie. It was so good, and it was so beautiful. And the thing that I noticed the most, you could eat it cold the next day with your hands. Like it was so together. It wasn't like this big sloppy hot mess that you have to eat in a bowl because it's going to fall apart, and that never happens. And the crust was so light. It was nuts. It was so good.
Yeah. You know what, that's an indication of a well-rolled pie crust.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so congratulations.
That's what I always say. They're like, well, technically, Janae, you made that pie. I'm like, no, I just put it together. Mm-hmm. But Arlie made the pie crust and the pie innards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, making the crust is an important part of it. But putting it together is hard. And if you don't do it right, then, like, yeah, it just falls apart, which is...
And I chalk that up to an excellent instruction.
Oh, thank you.
All those tips, like to how to crimp it, the top and the bottom together. Mm-hmm. And there was one tip. You put do water around the edge so that it seals. What was that?
Yeah, I'll use water for sealing it, or egg wash.
Or egg wash, mm-hmm, to make sure that it seals. Mm-hmm. How did you, for that particular recipe... What was your process to, well, I mean, brown butter makes everything better, but what was your process to come up with something like that? Like when you sit down and say, I'm going to make a pie and it's, mm-hmm, going to be an Arlie pie.
Well, I don't know if this is a bad thing, but I use brown butter a lot. Sometimes I'm like, here I am again, browning butter. So that's a very Arlie pie. And I really like herbs, too. I don't have that big of a sweet tooth. Hmm. So I like for my desserts to have, like, different savory elements in them. Hmm. And sort of, like, unexpected flavors. So, like, I wouldn't really be drawn to, like, a plain apple pie. Like, I want it to have, like... You know, the herbs and, of course, the booze, because bourbon's great.
Right. It makes everything taste better, too.
Yeah. And I use the Flavor Bible a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a big go-to resource for me.
I've had other chefs mention that as, mm-hmm, well, that they consult the Flavor Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe even Phyllis mentioned it from the Spice Diva. About, yeah, what herbs and spices go, mm-hmm, together.
Yeah.
That play off each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll just explain it.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the sake of explaining it. But it's like an encyclopedia where you can look up, like, almost any ingredient that you would use. Wow. In sweet and savory things. I think there is a baking flavor Bible, but I just have a regular, like, the original version. So, it has, like... Like, you would look up apples, and then it would have a very long list for something as common as apples of all of the different, like, herbs, fruit, meat, everything that pairs well with apples. Oh, and then, nice, it breaks it down, like, things that are bolded pair very well, and then things that are bolded in all caps pair, like, super well, which is cool.
Oh,
and
I
this
need to
long
get
list.
That.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll look at one thing and then I'll, like, cross-reference it. So, like, with the Harvest Heritage Festival, I made a sweet potato pie.
Hold that thought. I just lost my glasses.
Oh, no.
And if we keep going, I'm going to need them. Okay. Sweet potato pie.
Yeah, so I made a sweet potato pie for the Harvest Heritage Festival. And I went to the Flavor Bible and, like, tweaked the spices that I use in it sometimes to imitate, like, a masala.
Oh, my God.
Added,
are you kidding?
A tarragon whipped cream on top, because licorice goes really well with masala. And that was, like, completely out of the Flavor Bible. Like, it wasn't me being super creative or, like, knowledgeable. You know, it was me cross-referencing a bunch of different entries in the Flavor Bible.
Do you make that pie for that your Thanksgiving, like, if masala based, like, sweet potato pie?
You know, I just made regular sweet potato pie,
but I could special order it.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, guys, I wish you could see my face when you said that. That's genius. Thanks. Of course, that would be so good together.
Mm, yeah,
because I've made curries before with sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and, like, with the, like, evaporated milk and,
yeah,
like, the brown sugar and everything, it's really nice.
That would really play well on. Mm-hmm. And since you brought that up, I was going to ask this much later. On the Brookville restaurant blog, you wrote, mm-hmm, a beautiful post about sweet potato pie.
Oh, thank
that
you.
I just loved. You're a really good writer.
Thanks.
And you have a blog on your website.
I do, yes, but I don't update as much as I should.
Oh,
but
you you really should. And nice. And with thoughts like that sweet potato post, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, last year for Brookville, I decided to make sweet potato pie for the entire month of February in honor of Black History Month, because in conversations with my coworkers and with friends, I realized that sweet potato pie was a Black thing. Like, I mean, my family is a mixed family. Like, yeah. I have Black people and white people in my family. And so our holidays always have both, and there's this always this argument over sweet potato versus pumpkin pie.
Right.
And I didn't realize that it was that Black people like sweet potato pie. Because everyone that I talked to, they were like, I have never, when I made sweet potato pie, I was like, oh, guys, try this sweet potato pie. And they were like, I've never even heard of this before. And we're kind of like timid about trying it. I mean, eventually they did and they yeah. liked it. But I don't know. I think like that's a very common thing to happen as a yeah. Black person in a majority white culture.
Yeah.
Where like the things that are a basic part of your culture, people are like, I've never even heard of that. And, you know, it's not like, not only is it not like celebrated or elevated, it's like not even acknowledged a lot of times.
Yeah.
Whereas like the white culture, white cultural aspects, like it's sort of assumed that I know it and that I grew up with uh-huh. it. And I mean, uh-huh. it happens with like food and TV shows and music. Yeah. Like there's like a lot of 90s music. My friend and I joke about how like when people say like, oh, I like 90s music, you're always like, what kind of 90s music do you mean?
Can you clarify that yeah. for me? Because there was a lot of it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of 90s grunge music that people yeah. are like, you've definitely heard the song. Oh, you know this song. You have yeah. to know it. I'm like, no, I mean, I like listen to like Biggie and like Lauryn Hill in the yeah. 90s, like TLC. Like, right. I'm sorry. I don't. And not to like knock that music, but it's just like not. It's not yeah. my culture that I grew up with. And so, yeah, that's why I got, like, very passionate about making yeah. the sweet potato pie. Cause
that blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who doesn't know sweet potato pie? And I don't, and it got me thinking, because I've heard that argument, too. Like, white mm-hmm. people like pumpkin pie, Black people like sweet potato pie. I grew up eating pumpkin pie, but I mm-hmm. prefer sweet potato pie. It's mm-hmm. just better.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an instance with that with collard greens because I grew up eating them. And when my in-laws came for Thanksgiving, Northern Jewish family, they insisted when they sat, my father-in-law, rest his soul, wasn't very tactful. And he sat down and he's like, well, I hate collard greens. I don't like them.
Mm.
And then he proceeded to have three helpings. So
yeah,
it got me thinking, like, is it a Southern thing? Is it a race thing? People have these like preconceived prejudices about like what it is and what you've been exposed to. And there's overlap and then there isn't overlap.
Yeah.
And it was a very thoughtful post.
Thanks.
But it blew my mind that people here in Charlottesville had never even heard of it.
Yeah.
Because this is a Southern town.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And what? Yeah. And I think the bigger thing for me is not so much that people haven't heard of it, but that they don't really care that they haven't heard of it or, you know, and that like me not knowing a part of white culture is a problem, but them not knowing a part of Black culture.
How do you
culture?
Not know Nirvana or Pearl Jam? It's I just don't. And then they get all mad and adamant about it. And it's like, I can't believe this was all over the radio. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I didn't listen to that station.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I grew up in, like, ghetto New Jersey. Like, we weren't listening to, like, I can't even name them. I'm sorry. I can't name, like, 90s grunge bands. And I don't think that they're bad. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But
it just wasn't something you were exposed to.
Yeah.
That's, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. I used to tell people my musical preferences, and they'd be like, wow, Janae, you're all over the map. You just listen to everything. And I'm like, that's a bad thing?
Yeah, you should.
Well, talk about your upbringing a little bit. What, like, did growing up, what were your childhood food memories? Or music memories?
Yeah. Well, my mother immigrated to America from Jamaica. Oh. And we lived in New Jersey, like right outside of New York. And I spent a lot of time in like Queens and Brooklyn growing up. And this was like before Brooklyn was nice.
What part of Brooklyn? I'm curious.
You know, I don't remember. It was like so long ago. Have you heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle? They have this famous choir.
They do.
Gospel choir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to church there, and that's all. And my grandmother lived in Queens. Or sorry, my godmother lived in Queens. But yeah, it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But living in like that area, I had a lot of access to Jamaican food back then. Mm. So that's what I really remember from my childhood. And my mom, she passed away when I was pretty young. But she was a huge hippie when it came to food and made me eat a lot of healthy food like that I didn't really like. Uh-huh. But that now I'm grateful that I have a taste for healthy food.
Yeah, yeah.
Like not that much of a sweet tooth. And she was also like a single mother raising 5 children. So she didn't let us have sugar.
Yeah.
She was like, you will stay calm and in control.
I had the same upbringing. I had to go sneak next door for the junk food
because
mom wouldn't let it in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good though. I mean, I ate a lot of like Kix. That was like the sweetest cereal I was allowed to eat. Yeah.
We got Kix too. Like Life. And Kix. And a lot of Cheerios.
Yeah, we couldn't even eat Frosted Flakes.
No Frosted Flakes. Yeah. Maybe Raisin Bran, maybe.
Yeah, I think eventually we got to eat Raisin Bran. Maybe they like changed their recipe or something. I remember not being able to eat Raisin Bran for a long time.
Not even Raisin Bran. Yeah. Like those raisins are too sweet.
Well, there's also like sugar on the raisins too.
That's true.
It was a pretty strict line. I think it was like 3 grams of sugar per serving.
We're gonna keep those kids calm.
Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of my like food memories from my childhood are Jamaican food, like really spicy meat, and my grandmother used to make ginger beer, which she didn't make it like carbonated or alcoholic, but it was like a really, really intense ginger drink. It was almost like maybe like a cold, like the consistency of like a cold pressed juice.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. And I wish, so she's passed away too. Oh. And I like wish that I like knew how she made it because it was so good.
Oh, don't you hate that?
Yeah. And then there was this other drink, sorrel. It's like a hibiscus. It's made with hibiscus flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've been able to make again. And a lot of people will serve like hibiscus punch.
Right.
Around town, or maybe not around. I've seen it like pop up around town or in the grocery store, and it's never really like quite as strong as it used to be when I was a kid.
I interviewed somebody on here that makes it, and I'm racking my brain. I can't think. It's a kefir, maybe? With hibiscus? Oh, shoot. I'll think of it at like 3 a.m. Okay. On Wednesday.
Great. And you can text me.
Yeah, I will. I will. Because, it's from hibiscus flower.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is. It was the cashew girl, East Bally Cashews.
Hmm.
They I guess in Bally, hibiscus flowers are pretty ubiquitous. And so that was a way for them to have revenue.
Cool.
Was to harvest them and make teas and cold drinks and things like that. And they drink it a lot over there.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to try some. Because I love Red Zinger tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I make it, it's usually like with a lot of ginger too.
Good.
Strong ginger is just, it's good for you.
Yeah.
And it just.
I had a hippie roommate and she would just boil a big knob of ginger root in a saucepan. and stick her face over it. And then she would steep it forever and ever and make like a hot drink.
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes too. Well, I'll usually grate it.
Yeah.
And yeah. just boil it and with some honey. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it is really good. And good for your stomach too. Good mm-hmm. for digestion.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
So how did you come to live in Virginia? What brought you to Charlottesville?
Well,
from Brooklyn.
Yeah, so it was after my mother and my grandmother passed away. We came in, my four brothers and I.
Oh my, you have four brothers?
I do, yeah.
Now, where are you in the lineup?
Right in the middle.
So you got two older, two younger. Mm-hmm. Oh my yep. God.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder she wasn't giving you any sugar.
Exactly.
Whoa.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of fun, too.
I bet. Yeah. Are they here in the area? Are they around?
No, I'm actually the only, well, my oldest brother is in Northern Virginia, and then the next one's in Chicago, the next one's in New York, and then the youngest one is in Colorado.
Oh, they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've stayed the closest. So we moved to Virginia and lived with my aunt and uncle. And then we all moved to Orange County, and I went to Orange County High School.
Oh.
And then landed at UVA and have been here
very
since.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot about Edna Lewis, and because she's one of my favorite chefs. I had mm-hmm. no idea that she was born and grew up in Orange.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Cool.
There was a town in Freetown. Lenny Sorensen would know this. Lenny, I'm sorry mm-hmm. if I'm getting my facts wrong. She's my food historian mentor. She calls me the student. And there was a... It was one of the first incorporated African-American towns, and it was called Freetown, and it was outside Orange, oh. and that's where Edna was born and cool. raised. And I'm like, oh, well, I like her even more now because yeah. she's from this area.
That's awesome. Is that town that. Still called Freetown?
I don't know. Hmm. But I know it's when they have the Edible Orange Fest, I think mm-hmm. they do, and I know Lenny does a lot of cooking demos out there for that festival. They do have like a whole Edna thing, like afternoon,
mm-hmm.
because she's, you know, native son, like from the town and mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't know who she is, look her up. They just talked about her on Top Chef a couple weeks ago, which made me very happy.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I tuned in, is I've stopped watching. Wow.
Some bitterness in there.
Oh my God, it's gotten so bad.
Yeah.
Food competition shows are so... Well, we talked about that with the macarons and with the kids. I mean, it's gotten mm-hmm. so stupid.
Yeah. Like, almost pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. I heard some... My friend, like, texted me the other day. She was watching a baking competition where they had to, like, incorporate, like, fish or something.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Just because they want to screw with you. Like, yeah. Here, let's do this.
Maybe they just, like, ran out of ideas.
Or chopped. It was probably chopped.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. I really miss the days when, well, they still have them, when cooking shows were more educational, mm-hmm. where they, you know, how to do a pie crust or how mm-hmm. to make a macaron. I miss those days. How did you get started with Brookville? Like, after UVA, what did you study at UVA?
Urban and environmental planning.
Oh.
Yeah, which I'm not using at all.
Now, see, I would beg to differ because I was doing some research on you yesterday to kind of pump up my questions, and I love the work that you're doing with CALM. And the summer camp that you did.
Thanks.
And I feel like it's not urban environmental planning, but mm-hmm. it's community involvement and improvement.
Yeah.
And I loved reading about that.
Thank you.
And I want you to talk about it, but I have to tell you, Amy Jackson mm-hmm. is kind of amazing.
She is.
With her photography.
Yeah.
in the summer camp that you did with young girls that where she you had her take their portraits,
mm-hmm.
I pulled those pictures up and started to cry because they were so beautiful.
Yeah, that was a really cool project.
Talk about that a little bit.
So I worked at Abundant Life right after graduating for about 5 years. And during that time, I moved into the role of the director of girls programs, which included overseeing all of the after school activities, or not all of, all of the evening activities, and special events, and a summer camp. And I made a summer camp, or I sort of reshaped the summer camp program. Hmm. I called it Radiant Girls Camp, which from a verse in the Bible that I can't remember verbatim off the top of my head. but it's about looking to God and radiating because of that, because you're reflecting Him. So I tried to shape the different activities that we did during camp around like these girls just sort of learning to be like the best version of who they are already, mm-hmm. and like celebrating that and like taking care of themselves. So like we talked about like we did a cooking class, and you know, when I was talking to them about like cooking and eating, and you know, I wanted to like to make sure that they thought about food as like something that strengthens you and something that allows you to do all the things that you want to do in life, and not something that is like, you know, obviously like staying healthy is important, but like it's not something that is supposed to control you.
Yeah.
Like you use it as a tool.
Yes.
And you know, and we did like self-defense classes and journaling and gardening and community service, and
wonderful. And what are the, what's the age range of these girls?
It was 5th through 8th grade girls.
Oh my god.
So they were like 10 to 13 years old.
And that is the age when you need that,
mm-hmm.
because you hate yourself. You look in the mirror and there's all these things changing, and you're growing, and you're like, oh, I look awful and everybody hates me, and middle school sucks.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. So, yeah, it was really, I loved working with those girls. Well, that summer, I remember that summer being particularly hard with some behavior things,
well,
but it was still a very rewarding summer. And so this project that we did at the end, we did portraits of the girls. My roommate, Amy Jackson, who's a photographer.
She's your roommate?
Yeah. Oh,
I need her phone number.
I will give that to you.
Because I need new headshots.
Oh, awesome.
I'm very impressed with her work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's just a lot of fun. Like, she's very relaxed and just fun to be with, which I think makes a huge difference. I always love photos that Amy takes of me more than, like,
they're beautiful.
Yeah.
She has a real knack for capturing emotion, I noticed. I was like, wow, my God. It's just got that little extra.
Yeah.
It's a good photo, but it's got a little extra in it too.
Yeah, she is great.
Yeah, how was that day of camp taking the photos? Like, why did you do that? Why was it important for you to do that project for the girls?
So another part of the project was having them pledge. Well, I had them list 5 things that they liked about their physical selves. And 5 things that they liked about their personal selves. So, like, you know, I can run fast. I think one girl said, like, I can run fast and I can play soccer well. And then, like, I have a nice smile and I have pretty eyes. And then for things that they like about themselves, it was, like, their personal selves. Like, I'm funny. I'm really good at reading. You know,
that's nice.
Like things about their personality that they like. And then 5 ways that they pledged to take care of themselves. And some of the girls were like very thoughtful about like, I will spend time alone, like just to take care of myself. And like, I will, you know, some of them were like, I'll drink more water. And some are like, I will laugh more.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And when we first started doing it, I was a little bit nervous because, you know, like social media culture for younger kids, it's all about like selfies and mm-hmm. likes
yeah.
and like getting more followers. And yeah. like, and I was a little nervous, like, is this going to be feeding into like this weird, shallow narcissism? But we gave the girls like their portraits alongside their lists and their pledges to themselves at the end of the camp. And like watching them come up with the list, like it was really hard for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be hard for me even
yeah.
for like a confident, self-aware adult. But it was like a really good exercise for them. And then like giving it to them, I don't know, it was just really beautiful. And I could see how they needed this reminder
yeah.
that there's like,
don't we all?
Yeah, there's like a beauty outside and within yeah. that's worth celebrating.
Yeah.
And like,
I got so tore up looking mm-hmm. at the portraits because I used to teach middle school.
Oh, cool.
And I was thinking of all the kids that needed that because mm-hmm. I still remember, you know, there are certain students I still remember to this day.
Yeah.
And I was like, how beautiful, because not only are you teaching them to cook and garden, like to create something from scratch mm-hmm. and they can look at it and say, I made that. But then you're teaching them about their own self, inner and outer. You know, don't mm-hmm. use food to cover up your bad feelings. Use it to nourish and grow and mm-hmm. you know, a sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
Which is very hard to cultivate at any age, but yeah. particularly when you're in middle school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, I don't know if like that battle was won that summer, but I hope that it's at least just one
right.
time that they can think back and sort of remember. Uh-huh.
No, that's what will happen. You mm-hmm. think that the kids are not listening, but underneath all of that turmoil, I always compare it to a lake. There's all this hormonal, emotional turmoil on top,
mm-hmm.
but underneath, there's a stillness and a quietness. And years from now, they will be like, "Wow, I remember that camp, and you know, she was so cool, and what a great teacher." And it might be one thing you said or did. They'll remember it. They will. They'll have some kind of mm-hmm. moment in their life where they'll go, "Oh, Miss Harrington said, you know, you should nourish your body. Maybe I shouldn't eat these Cheetos. Maybe I'll go, you know, eat some kale or have like a piece yeah. of wheat bread or like, because yeah. I need to be strong tomorrow."
Because mm-hmm.
I remember her telling me that. They will.
Yeah.
They will. And when can you do that summer camp for adults? Can I join? Like,
no, I mean, it was really great. Even so, we did a self-defense class. There was a woman that we had come like at least two summers in a row. She came once a week and taught us self-defense. I was like, man, like, I want to invite all of my friends, like every yeah. woman that I know to this.
I need that.
Yeah.
All I know is to put the keys between your fingers. Yeah. The old... Mm-hmm. Punch him with the keys.
Well, okay, so
know if that works.
This was like one of my favorite things about the self-defense class. One of the first things that we talked about was boundaries, and we practiced saying no, because you're supposed to yell no in a deep, low voice instead of like screaming.
Instead of being a woman and go, "No, please don't mean
yeah,
it," because uh-huh. that's what we're taught, to be yeah, polite.
Uh-huh.
"No, please don't come close to me."
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no!
Yeah. And like being forceful. And I thought like, wow, that's, I think the first week that was all we did was
yeah.
talk about boundaries and saying no.
Though if, okay, I don't want to go down like too much yeah. of a tangent, but if there's one good thing that has come out of this election, it's that it has woken up a lot of women that may have been complacent, and it mm-hmm. feels like they feel like they have more of a voice to say, you know what, we're done
mm-hmm.
with this kind of treatment,
mm-hmm.
with this kind of like invading our personal space. Oh, I wish I could think of the a specific quote. I was watching the march, and because we tried to go and didn't made it as far as the metro.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really?
Yeah, and there was an hour wait in the Arlington metro. Wow. And my friend has cancer, so mm-hmm. he was very tired. And so we ended up watching on TV. But there were a lot of women that got up and said, you know what? I've been dealing with this my whole life, with men feeling like they can say these things to me mm-hmm. and invade my personal space. And I have to be nice and polite because my mama taught me to be that way. And I'm done. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. I honestly have not considered myself that much of a patriotic person in the past.
Right.
But, like, in the last month or two, I feel like people have sort of put forth this image of patriotism that is inclusive and that is about, like, justice for everyone. And I feel like it's sort of reshaped my thinking of, like, what it means to be a patriot and to love America. Like, it means fighting for everyone that I consider an American. And like, I mean, because I think I've been a little bit detached from that because mm-hmm. I see America as a force for a lot of injustice, not just like in our country, but around the world.
And so
it's been like, it's been very neat for me in the last like month or two, like, oh, like, this is what it means to be an American.
Yeah.
Like, it means protesting when you see something wrong. And, like, it means, like, standing beside, like, people who don't look like you and who practice a different faith from you. And, like, this isn't anti-American. Like, this is America. And I think, I just loved these images that are like the Super Bowl commercials have made me cry.
Do you know how great were they? I'm like, corporate America is stepping up and risking their bottom dollar to say these things. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe finally they realize who it is that is buying their products. We are America. We are of many races and religions and creeds. We are not a bunch of white men. Like, not to, like, guys, I'm not going to get on a soapbox here, but but I was very pleasantly surprised that these corporations, mostly run by white men, decided to say, you know what, okay, you're getting a little ridiculous here. Let's kind of put forth a positive message.
So You talked to Rachel from the Pie Chest a couple weeks ago. I think you put out a podcast of that. And I remember you guys talked about like Trump's, I think if like the Trump people came in, or sort of like a business's responsibility right now, which like really resonated with me. I have posted just a few things on social media in the last like month. I mean, I'm like occasionally political, and like I want to put air quotes around political because I don't really think that caring about like Black lives and police brutality should be that political. Like, I think it should be a human thing.
It's a common sense thing, right?
Yeah, like, I think so. But I have like, I got a lot of backlash from people for like just posting, like there was one post in particular where I made some pretty, I thought, basic statements about love is love, Black Lives Matter, women's rights are human rights.
Right.
And, like, there was a post before that that this lady sort of, like, came at me about, like, this isn't what Instagram is for. Like, I was really,
it's just for pretty pictures.
Feed. Yeah. And I was like, well, like, things are more important than cupcakes. like, this is my platform. These are things that I care about. And, like, I don't know.
Using pretty food pictures to cover up what's really happening in the world. Yeah. Please don't talk about what's happening. I just want to be lulled to sleep by your beautiful cupcake pictures.
Yeah, and it's also, it's frustrating because, like, I'm still a person. Like, I'm still human. I'm a woman. I'm a woman of color. Like, I have, like, you know, I have people that I care about that are, like, undocumented or that are Muslim.
Yeah.
And, like... like, I'm just a person, and I don't know. It feels silly for somebody to want me to forget everything that I am so that they can have pictures of cupcakes.
So they can feel better.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to me. Before the election, I asked people during interviews how they kept their business separate from their politics, because I would notice that how their personal Facebook page was so much more political than their business page.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to do a roundtable now with some business folks, because I am incredibly curious how everyone is handling it.
Yeah.
If that man or his son who own a winery here in town, if they walked into your business, would you seat them? Would you serve them? What would you do? And I'm so curious to know the responses. Can you not be political now? Or like you said, are some issues just common sense? They're not political at all. It's about human rights for everyone.
Yeah.
How do you separate it? Do you not? It's a new world.
Yeah. And like, you know, so much, I feel like nowadays, like, there are so many ways to connect to people that it almost feels a little pointless to not be political.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, keeping things separate, there are some things that I can, like, kind of understand, but I feel like people, like, consumers want to feel like they're connecting with a person.
Yeah.
And
right. I do that with the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, we can get to the interview, but I'm not just a talking head. You might want to know a little bit more about me. Maybe not. If you don't, then hit fast forward.
Yeah.
So it's you can't separate yourself from your work. I guess you can.
Oh, yeah, I think you can, but I think it's getting harder.
It's getting harder to do so.
Which I also, like, don't really mind all that much. Like, I'm kind of the mindset that if we're silent about things, then we're being supportive.
Silence is apathy, or apathy is evil. Mm-hmm. If you're apathetic, if you just stay silent, silence equals death, I used to say with the HIV AIDS crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that now is not the time to be silent.
Yeah.
At all.
Especially now.
Right. Wow. And okay, we really got off off of desserts and pies. How did you, but it's important stuff and it can't be ignored.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something we got to touch on, I think. Yeah. How did you get started with Brookville? And because I know the story of how you got to baking, but our listeners may not.
Well, how I got to baking, or just baking at Brookville?
Or baking as a business.
Yeah, well...
what brought you to that?
So through my time at Abundant Life, which we talked about earlier with the summer camp, I kind of... so I started looking at more like social enterprises and this like business model where companies will work specifically... well, they'll have some sort of like social justice cause that drives their business. And it's a for-profit thing, because I got like a little tired of the nonprofit world. It's just, it's really hard to be doing hard, important work and then having to work double hard to bring in money for it, you know? And so I got like kind of burnt out from that model and started thinking about like the social enterprise where like you can serve people and like not just like make money for yourself off of that, like, you know, support myself,
right?
But also like support the people that I am trying to work with and that I'm trying to lift up. So yeah, I kind of got this idea of like wanting to open a bakery someday where I hire women from like disenfranchised backgrounds, I guess I'll say.
Because I'm not lovely.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure like what that population will look like and mm-hmm. like, you know, how that will grow. But that's an ultimate goal of mine. Mm-hmm. For like lots of different, like the economic, like the economic development sort of aspect of it, like yeah. giving these women income, but then yeah. also like giving them a space that is like safe.
Yeah.
And
that's funny. I just talked about this yesterday. Ed Lee, the chef, is doing something like that with his new restaurant where he started a 40-week mentorship program cool. where he hires people from disenfranchised mm-hmm. backgrounds and mentors them for 40 weeks so that they can work in restaurants. They That's can awesome. Leave his program and mm-hmm. go on to work in restaurants.
That's really cool.
So that'd be for a bakery.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to get his contact info from you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. I don't know him personally, but I read about the program mm-hmm. and boy, we need bakers here mm-hmm. because I know, Lori Chapman at Pearls is always posting, and Rachel's talked about needing more people, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're short-staffed.
Yeah.
So yeah. That needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would like to do that someday. I just finished my first year of the business, so I feel like, you know, I've like learned a whole lot.
Totally.
And there's still a lot to learn.
No kidding.
And I've started like really small too. Like just really small, started things out. I was a business in the sense that I had an LLC and a business license and a business bank account and a website.
Uh-huh. That's kind of where I am.
Yeah.
And you went and you took the CIC program.
I did. Yeah. So I took the CIC program like 2 falls ago, fall of 2015, which was so awesome and helpful. They're great. I like try to send all potential business people over to them. Yeah, that was really cool. And being back in school for the first time in a long time was actually kind of fun.
See, and I start the 28th.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, great. I got accepted. I've got the same feeling. I'm I'm excited, but I'm nervous too. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Like, just all of the like practical things that you've learned. It's like my homework, it's the most practical thing I've ever done. Hmm. My homework was to build and grow my business, which is awesome. So like I made cash flow projections for the business and I did market research like for Arlie Cakes and, you know, like break evens and things like that. Like,
yeah.
Just some like, I don't know. I just found it really helpful because the idea of starting a business is very intimidating.
Sure.
Like, you know, you look online, like, how do I start a business?
And yeah. It's
like, write a business plan. And that is like so intense to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just had a hard time looking at this huge task, and the CIC really helped to like break it down. And it was like encouraging, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm kind of good at this. Like, sure. I can do these things.
Sure. Yeah, it's nice because they group you in with other people into small groups. And so it's a collaborative learning.
Mm-hmm.
You feed off each other.
Yeah. And you have 8 people who basically whenever you want to ask them about, like, what do you think if I do this? What do you guys think about this product? They are all ears. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll give you feedback, which is like very... It's like kind of hard to find people who are always willing to like, what do you think about this ribbon versus this ribbon?
Right. So. And you're, with your roommate, Amy's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like,
okay. You've asked me 20 questions about the business already.
Yeah. She is totally my person that I sit down with.
Let me pick your brain about something. Oh yeah. God. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm grateful to have her. Yeah. But I know the CIC was a really good opportunity to have a large group of people.
Yeah. Who gave you the idea for the cookie club? Because I think that's genius.
Oh, thank you.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think, oh, actually, probably the food, the business for food conference that we met
really?
At the Omni. I bet, like, it's something that I've heard about before, but they were really like, subscriptions are the new trend. Like, they're the way to go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. And, you know, well, Splendoris has their pint club.
I know, yeah.
You've got community support. I like CSC. It's community supported cookies.
Instead of agriculture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how does somebody join the cookie club? And what is it?
So they just go to my website and sign up. And then I deliver either a dozen or two dozen cookies to their door every month. And I have a list of the cookies that I'm doing each month. So February, which I'll do next week, I believe. I have to look at the calendar. But I'm going to do fortune cookies.
Oh,
like homemade fortune cookies, yeah. Kind of like dipped in chocolate. And
oh.
Yeah. So you just sign up and then you pay for it. And then you have cookies delivered to your door once a month. Oh, pretty God. Simple.
What's not to like?
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah. And it was fun coming up with all of the different flavors and
yeah,
you know, I like to do sort of out there things, but then, you know, in talking to like Amy etc. about what do you think people will want,
yeah,
it's like, you know, you have to have some sort of middle ground. Probably maybe someday I'll be like famous enough where I can do whatever I want and people will come,
right?
But
right.
For now I have to appeal.
Yeah, that like maybe one month kind of something strange, and then the next month something more familiar, like
yeah.
with maybe your little spin on it, like that sweet potato pie with the yeah. with the masala.
Yeah,
because that's just a little tweak.
Mm-hmm.
I could see now. Can is it too late to join? Can you join anytime?
Yeah, you can join anytime. I think so. It'll just depending on when you join. That'll like. It might be the next month when
sure.
you, like if it's late in the month or if
sure.
it's after I've already done the delivery. But
okay.
yeah, you can always join.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Phyllis, I don't live in town, but Phyllis told me if I joined, I could pick them up at her store.
Oh, awesome.
And she promises not to eat them all.
Well, and I could also do a pickup at Keevil and Keevil.
Oh, there
like people
you go.
Can come pick up their cookies from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And we started talking about Brookville.
We did.
And the Keevils, and then we veered off.
I think this is like the third time that we've started talking about it. So I started waitressing at Brookville after college. And waitress there on and off for a long time. Like, I think it was like 5 years altogether.
Wow.
And like, so sort of like at some point, in the winter, I guess it was probably the winter of like 2014 was when I started like really thinking about doing baking for work. And then in the spring of 2015 is when I started baking for Brookville. And really like, I mean, Jen and Harrison just kind of like, they were like, yeah, come in and bake. Like, I don't know that they had ever had any of my baked goods. I think just from, like, knowing me for a long time and knowing that I get, like, a little obsessed with things. And,
yeah.
Like, I was an artist, like, all growing up. And
yeah.
Take a lot of care with the things that I, like, make and do with my hands.
Sure.
And so I don't know. That's what I feel like maybe they were like, we know Arlie. We trust her. Like, she's, like, done a lot of stuff around Brookville, and they were like, yeah, come in and bake.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started as the pastry chef there, or the cake queen.
The cake queen.
My title on the menu.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so that was in, like, the spring of 2015. And then fall of 2015 was when I started the CIC class, and then that year I stopped working at Abundant Life to focus more on Arlie cakes.
Oh, no. And it's really taken off.
Yeah, I think so.
And you do other desserts besides cookies and pies. You've done wedding cakes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I do a lot of wedding cakes. that was like a huge part of the business that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Last year.
That is it's amazing to me. Almost every business I talk to is using that as a revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
Is because the wedding business here is nuts.
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have had, so last year there was one weekend in October that everyone wanted. And this year it's a different weekend in October, but like I've had like 6 inquiries just for the one weekend in October, and now I'm like having to turn people away.
Oh, and like, I bet that's hard.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I think I'll just like not do more than 3 weddings on one Saturday afternoon. That's pretty reasonable.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, yeah. But like this past year, it's been cool. Like my skills have surpassed what I thought they would. You know, like I was really nervous about doing wedding cakes, and now I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this. Like this is within the realm of possible things that I can do.
Yeah. I loved your quote on your blog. It said something like, forget you, fondant. Everybody knows how gross you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer marzipan and buttercream. Yeah. And I was like, yes.
Yeah. I don't want to ruffle too many feathers because that's like a huge, like for wedding cakes especially, that's like a huge thing. But yeah, I do a lot of simple cakes, even like, you know, birthday cakes, wedding cakes. They're like pretty simple and sweet. Like, in looks, they're not like too sweet in flavor. You know, I like the sort of like savory elements. But yeah, I don't know. I like the natural look. And fortunately, that's what a lot of other people are liking these days too.
Sure.
Like
nothing too ornate.
Like a cake that is definitely pretty, but also that's enjoyable to eat.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you had any unusual flavor requests for cakes or shapes? Because I know sometimes people like, make me a cape in the, I keep thinking of the, what's that movie with the armadillo cake? The groom's cake was an armadillo.
Oh, I don't remember.
What is that? Oh my God. Everyone knows this that's listening. It's just because I'm almost 50 and having a brain lapse. The Southern movie. I'll forget it. But weird, like cakes that are shaped in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or weird flavors.
I maybe have had, I might get some like strange requests. Like some people will email me. I remember I got an email from someone asking for like, I would like a river and a canoe and a pine tree and like all of these things. And I'm like, you had to have looked at my website because you filled out this form on my website. But like, I don't do stuff like that.
You want the cake boss or Duff.
And it's not even like, you know, it's not so much like I'm not willing to do that. It's like I just don't do that, and I'm not gonna.
It's not your style.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna be able to learn this new skill to give you something like.
What's like asking an impressionist to paint cubist? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not your art.
Yeah,
that's not where you choose to pour your passion into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely gotten some requests like that where I'm like, I don't think you understand anything about what I'm doing here. But with strange flavors, I am probably the one who, when people, I'll do like custom cakes for people and they'll say like, I like this and this, like I like chocolate and I like strawberries and I like coffee. And I'll like respond to them with like, what about like, you know, I'll give them like a few ideas.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm the one who comes with the strange ideas. And some people are like, I think I'll go with like vanilla.
Oh, God.
Not always. A lot of times people will venture off into different things, but.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, when we get off tape, my birthday's coming up and it's a big one. So I might need a custom cake.
Oh yeah.
Cause I don't do that every year, but I might need to do that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do with lemon and raspberry? Just put that in the back of your head. Okay. Cause those are my two favorite flavors together.
Mm, those are good. When is your birthday?
April. Oh, late April.
Fun.
So yeah, I'm really dreading it. But let's not make this about me and my issues. I need to go have a portrait done and write down 5 things that I like about myself.
Exactly. That should happen every year with every birthday. That would be a good exercise, actually.
That would be, like a self-reflection. Mm-hmm.
Just like a birthday journal.
Like, what has happened the past year? You know, what am I proud of? Everybody should do that.
Yeah.
And then eat a big slice of cake or pie.
Yeah, of all days.
Oh, my God. Let me make sure. And I want to make sure that I hit marketing. Because I feel like you see me, I'm having my brain lapse and I'm looking at my notes. We're not going to get to all of these and we're already over an hour, but that's fine. We have to talk about your Instagram, and there may have been a reason that lady wanted to be lulled to sleep by your pictures of cupcakes, because your Instagram is gorgeous.
Thank you.
And I know I picked your brain last time we talked about what apps you use to make your pictures look so good. Mm. How do you take your pictures? Teach us, because they're just insanely good.
Thank you.
Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, the color and the angle, and a lot of it's the artistry you have with buttercream and pastry, but how do you make your pictures look so good? Because mine always look like crap.
Well, it's funny. You know, I am a somewhat artistic person, but I also I'm kind of like math oriented, like sort of like, you know, rules and things. And I have like read about what people like on Instagram, and that's sort of driven like how I filter things and how I edit it. And like, you know, I look back on my photos and like how many likes they get and sort of like what people like respond to. Mm-hmm. So it's not totally like, you know, I'm just like, I have a knack for it. It's just that I read up, like, I read articles and then I read people, like, based on how they respond to my Instagram. So
you look at other Instagrams to see what people are liking?
Well, I look at my own, like, I'll look back on my photos and see what people like more. Because
And feed into that. Mm-hmm, say, well, yeah. I got 100 likes on this one picture, so let me do more of those.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of food photography is not really, like, my style. Mm-hmm. So, like, sort of these, like, stock photos or, like, these white backgrounds or, you mm-hmm. know, like, I take pictures on my iPhone and just upload them to Instagram. Like, occasionally there are pictures taken on, like, a big, nice camera.
Sure.
And Amy will help me sometimes too, mm-hmm. and take photos. But like, I do it on my iPhone. We have a really beautiful wooden table in our back sunroom that gets the best light all day long.
That's what it is. So it's natural mm-hmm. light.
Yeah.
Good table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always clean off my phone lens too. I'll like breathe on it and wipe it on my t-shirt. And it just makes sure that, because I get butter and flour all over everything. So chances are my camera lens is dirty at any given moment.
I don't think I've ever cleaned mine off in the years. Maybe that's why. Yeah. It just needs a... Well, maybe I'm hoping all that grit and grime will be like a gel lens for selfies to cover up the wrinkles.
No.
clean your lens, Janae. That's what you need to do. Oh, that's insane. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I wanted to be sure to ask that because marketing is such an important piece to owning your own business. Mm-hmm. How often do you post on Instagram?
I try to post once a day.
Okay.
Sometimes I go a couple days without doing that, which is fine.
And do you use Instagram exclusively? Do you post anything on Facebook or Twitter?
I sometimes post things on Facebook. I don't use Twitter. I think I should. Mm-hmm. But I am a little bit lazy and like just don't really get Twitter. Like I feel like I've gotten Instagram, and of course like I use Facebook personally. Mm-hmm. So like I sort of get it, but I occasionally post things to Facebook, but a lot of times just to Instagram, just because Instagram has been so much more successful for me.
Yeah.
And you know, I need to think more about how I use Facebook. Like Facebook, I think, will, like, it's helpful when I want to get people somewhere or, like, get people to order things.
Yeah. If they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's gotten a lot harder for folks to see things, too, even if you pay for ads.
Yeah.
I wonder, that could be a good discussion, too, because I feel like Facebook is maybe heading out a little bit. Yeah. I don't see as many people on it as I used to.
Yeah. I don't know. I spend a lot more time on Instagram than I do on Facebook. And it's just, we talked about this before, it's just so easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because you just put up a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one you took was of a Splendoris Gelato.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is gorgeous. How did she get it so pretty?
Well, I mean, it was just a tub of gelato. And I took a photo of
but it had that close food,
up of the gelato.
It had that food porn, oh, I want to eat that. Mm-hmm. You know, like the good food pictures have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because like the whole point of the podcast, I always say, is like, get people off those Instagram pictures and to get them to learn about the stories behind the pictures. Mm-hmm. And wow, that's a good segue because I feel like we've learned your story today.
Yeah.
We've gotten off of Instagram. Mm-hmm. Did we cover everything? Is there anything that you can think of that we missed?
I mean, I don't think so.
We talked about a lot.
We can talk about everything from my life if you've got a few more hours.
I know, right? Oh my God. And I would do that. We were talking about music before we turned on the tape. And I'm like, oh, don't get me started. We'll be here a while.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. Do you want to end with like a few fun questions?
Sure,
Speed round?
Yeah.
Now, you told me this on the first talk, but I got to hear it again because it was my favorite answer. What's your secret junk food vice that you secretly run to when you've had a rough day?
The Utz cheese balls. Or like anything cheesy and crunchy.
The Utz cheese balls.
Yep.
I freaking love those things.
And we once again got them for our Christmas party. And there were leftovers. And I had them for way too many meals. Just like a bowl of cheese balls for lunch or dinner. way too many times.
Was it the big giant jar?
Yeah, we went to Sam's Club.
The Sam's Club. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
We went to Sam's Club and not Costco. Because between our house, we have memberships to both. And we went to Sam's Club because they had cheese balls. Exclusively because of that reason.
God, what is it about those things? They're so good.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, they might have some sort of addictive drug in there. Yeah. I'm suspicious.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, and I heard you answer this question on an interview that Seville did, and I thought it was a great speed round question. Do you have a favorite kitchen utensil? Like one that you just couldn't live without when you bake?
Yeah, well, I think for that, I said my KitchenAid, my stand mixer, that a friend gifted to me, and it was like...
That's a nice gift.
Yeah, well, it was like sitting around in her house.
Yeah.
And that like totally changed how I bake. Yeah. I like don't really get how I made buttercream before that. That's what blows my mind the most. So I think the KitchenAid.
Yeah. Mm. I would love to get, I still don't have one. I use a food processor. Oh, I'm still.
Maybe for your big birthday.
Oh, that's true.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
In red. If anyone's listening, hint, hint.
I think they'll pick it up.
There you go. What's your BODO's order? Do you ever go to BODO's?
Yes. Okay, I just upgraded my BODO's order.
Oh, BODO's upgrade.
Yeah, so this is what I've been getting for a while. A 3-cheese sandwich on an everything bagel with tomato. And I just switched up the cheese I get to provolone, Munster, and Swiss. And I added pesto.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really good. Oh, and melted. Because melted cheese is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, grilled cheese and tomato is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The tomatoes there, where did they get them? Because it seems like all year they're good. Mm-hmm. They're not crappy even in the winter.
Yeah, they are good. Now that you mention it, they really are. And a few years ago, do you remember when the price of tomatoes there went up?
Yeah.
And they like had a note like, we're really sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Our tomatoes are a little more expensive now.
I remember my sandwich... It went up from $5.08 8 to 5.16, and I remember it went up 8 cents because I always get the same thing. I get a pastrami Swiss, lettuce, tomato, mustard, cut in half. And I was wondering why it went up 8 cents. Is that why? For this, the tomato?
Probably, yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. I have my change counted out at everything.
That's the best, when you know exactly how much your thing is going to cost.
Right. I'm going to have to try the cheese one now. Do you have a food city that, like, where you would just love to fly to and eat?
Oh.
Anywhere in the world.
I think somewhere in Jamaica, because I've never been.
Oh. Oh, my God. And that would be so poignant. And, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You've got to go.
I really do. Yeah.
I've never been either. And I would love to go. My husband's been. He's like, I think they went on a family vacation when he was young. I would love to go. Mm-hmm. I've never been to the Caribbean at all, like that whole part of the world. Neither. Oh, and this time of year, that'd be nice.
A little break from, even though it's not too cold right now.
No, that's true. We shouldn't be complaining.
The days are getting longer.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty happy these days.
Me too. Yeah. Okay, and I always end the interviews by kind of paying it forward, keeping it community focused. Who in this area food-wise should I interview next?
Can I give two answers?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so my first is my good friend Molly Reeder, who is a baker and illustrator, and she has illustrated she illustrated me and some of my baked goods in the past. She's very talented, and
I've seen her drawings in Spice Diva.
Yeah,
Yeah,
she had beautiful. Her kitchen drawing series where she illustrated like a bunch of different food bloggers and bakers.
Oh, that's from, so cool!
I think around the world, even. Yeah, so she's really great, and she's doing something like interesting in the food world that's kind of different.
Yeah, I've only talked to one other food artist, like someone who makes their topic food or makes their focus food. So I would be very interested in talking with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's very nice. I like her. Good to spend time with.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And then my other, so I don't think that you have sat down with Mel Walker.
No.
He's the owner of Mel's.
Oh, yes.
And I think that would be great. I love Mel.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love Mel's. I'm going to need an introduction because he intimidates me a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I know. I did a piece with our local commons, and they went in to talk to him, and he was a little rough and gruff with them at first. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll need to get somebody to introduce me. There's a couple of chefs in town like that where I'm kind of, maybe if you'd like send him, like do an intro.
Yeah.
It's like Christian over at Maya and Tim at Bizu. And the old guard. I consider him old. Mel is old guard.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But his chicken.
Yeah.
I did a fried chicken blind judging, and he was in my top three because of the way I think he uses cornflakes as the coating. And it was so different from the other two. And I remember Harrison was one of the other judges. And we had a very long discussion about who should win. And I was really pulling for Mel to win. And they liked Mickey Tavern a little better. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I love so the wingdings, the tiny little chicken, fried chicken.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the mac and cheese, that's what really gets me there. Mel's mac and cheese. Yes. But also Mel and Tia are really sweet. Yeah. I like them a lot.
I don't know what, you know, I think I talked about this with Tim Grieger, like, because I didn't grow up here, so I have a little bit of a carpetbagger syndrome, so maybe that's why I'm intimidated, but maybe I just need to get over that.
Yeah, and, okay, Mel versus Tia, like, even though, like, I I know Mel. I'm not quite sure if he knows my name, but he knows my face every time I come, and he's like, "Hey," and he asks about like, "Oh, I saw you in the news," like, you know, "Oh, you got a haircut," you know. But he still does always have, like, there are people whose faces like just never change to like that, like, warm, friendly face where it's like, I know that you like me and that you're happy to see me, and so I'm just going to remember that.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll say it might not just be in your head.
Okay.
I think his exterior can be a little bit.
Okay. It's Okay. That gives me renewed confidence.
Yeah.
I'll go in. I just need to be a regular. And be like, "Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Give me some chicken and mac and cheese, please."
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe we'll have to time it when Tia's there, because she is very warm and friendly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we'll have a buffer.
Exactly.
I got a few men in my life like that. You need a buffer with them.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Thank you for the coffee and the conversation.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming over.
Anytime.
Wonderful talk. And some damn wonderful cake, honey. Oh, my God. I'm going to go get a piece right now. I find when I talk about food or talk up a piece of food that I crave it. And that can be a problem if it's not there in front of you. I remember talking about an olive baguette from Marie Bette, and I happened to not have one. And I was so upset. And I kind of maybe did run out the next day and get one just to feed the beast that are my taste buds. Thank you for being my guest today. Thank you for being a listener, a supporter of the podcast, of the Big Love Initiative. I've started calling it that. T-shirts are coming. Today is the Big Love birthday. We had the Big Love bake sale. Who knows? We might have Big Love cookies, Big Love biscuits. It's going to be a whole thing, honey. So just be prepared. But thank you for being a supporter and a listener. Thank you to Teej.fm for their sponsorship, to my wonderful sponsors at patreon.com/audaciouspod, and to Michelle Jones and Jason Alley of Flora, Pasture, and Comfort in Richmond. If you are looking for good, solid food, Pasture and Comfort are Southern-based, and Flora is Oaxacan in nature. Get some tequila and tacos in your belly. Head to Richmond and check those restaurants out. You can find me on iTunes. My website is audacious.co. Please, by all means, send me your comments. Let's foment a relationship, shall we? Submit a review. Do you have suggestions for future guests or topics or places I should visit? I would love to hear them. Thanks for being my guest. And until next time, I am Janae Libby of Audacious Food Talk for Gluttons. I'm ferocious. I'm shameless when it comes to friends. I'm loquacious and very gracious. And when it comes to learning about food and keeping those connections going, I'm audacious, and I hope you are too. Big love, guys. Big love.